Exodus chapter 21, verses 1 through 11. This is the reading of God's word. Now these are the ordinances which you are to set before them. If you buy a Hebrew slave, he shall serve for 6 years, but on the seventh he shall go out as a free man without payment. If he comes alone, he shall go out alone. If he is the husband of a wife, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master gives him a wife, and he bears his sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall belong to her master, and he shall go out alone. But if the slave plainly says, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out as a free man. Then his master shall bring him to God. Then he shall bring him to the door or the doorpost. And his master shall pierce his ear with an awl, and he shall serve him permanently. If a man sells his daughter as a female slave, she is not to go free as the male slaves do. If she is displeasing in the eye of her master, who designated her for himself, then he shall let her be redeemed. He does not have authority to sell her to a foreign people because of his unfairness to her. If he designates her for his son, he shall deal with her according to the custom of daughters. If he takes to himself another woman, he may not reduce her food, her clothing, her conjugal rights. If he will not do these things, these three things for her, then she shall go out for nothing without payment of money. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. Grant us an ear to hear, so that we may hear our God's voice through your word, telling us what our Lord has done and accomplished for us, and telling us what is true of us now that Jesus Christ has accomplished all these things. Oh Father, we pray that you and you alone will receive all the glory. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, we have concluded last time that all ceremonial laws are abrogated, meaning abolished or do away with, under the new covenant. The ceremonial laws are completely abrogated because our Lord Jesus Christ has sacrificed himself as the once and for all perfect sacrifice. But those ceremonial laws still teach us about the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Thus, we must still study them to learn about Christ and what he has done for us. God also gave Old Testament Israelites the sundry judicial laws, but they are also expired together with the state of that people. Only the principle of the general equity remains, meaning the principle of the general fairness must be applied when it comes to the judicial laws of the nations today. Now, you have to remember, and this is why understanding the whole Bible is important. You have to look at the whole picture. Otherwise, people will misunderstand. Now, you have to understand the ultimate purpose of God. We will see so many divisions in the Old Testament. And those divisions are earthly divisions. For example, here, male and female, there's a division. Gentiles and Jews, there's a division. Even within Jews, some people can be priests and some people cannot. There's a division. Even what they're eating at the time, there's a division. Clean food and unclean food. Now, all these earthly divisions are pointing to the true division That is Jesus Christ. So in order for God to teach us this concept of division, how in Christ and people who are not in Christ, they're completely different. In order for him to teach us this kind of division, I mean the ultimate division in Christ, he uses earthly examples in the Old Testament. Just like he wants to teach us the heavenly temple, he uses earthly temple as an example, as a type to teach us what is the eternal temple. It's always like that. So when it comes, when we are living right now in the New Testament, only division we know is Jesus Christ, whether you are in Christ or you're not. But in the Old Testament, as a type, you will see various divisions. But, for example, woman and man, they're treated differently. It sounds very unfair to modern ears. But when you read the New Testament, it says there's neither Jew or Gentiles, there's neither man or woman. We are all one. That's the ultimate purpose of God. But in the Old Testament, it's a type. So you have to keep that in mind as you read these things. Because, if you don't understand that, then you come to these kind of verses and say, wait a minute, God is just not fair. And even the unfair treatment in the Old Testament, it's not that God is not fair, because everyone is a sinner and we all deserve to go to hell. Whatever that God has treated you, other than sending you to hell, he's actually treating you much better than what you should receive anyway. So that kind of, complaint, it just doesn't hold. Because whatever you might be complaining, you actually deserve worse. But that is not how God treating his people. Ultimately in heaven, forever in heaven, he doesn't treat you any differently than any other person. You are all his sons. He loves you all equally. And he blesses us with the equal blessings of heaven. I mean, in heaven, there is no jealousy. He got more than I did. There's no such a thing in heaven. So keep this in mind as we continue. It's like, let me just give you this. I said this to one person and, it's my kind of joke where I think it's funny but nobody laughs. That kind of joke. It's like, let's say you are a pig. In the Old Testament, pig is unclean food. But in the New Testament, every food is clean. You could eat anything you want. There's no earthly division when it comes to what you could eat or what you could not eat. But in the Old Testament, pig was unclean food. It's like when you, as a woman, complaining that, why does God treat women differently here? It's like, it is the same thing as that pig today complaining, long ago, how come he designated me as unclean food? See, nobody's laughing. See, I told you. And we will say, shut up, pig, because that is not ultimate purpose of God. He's not treating you unfairly. You will say that to that pig. And that's how it is. We don't complain, how come God, only Jews in the Old Testament, no Gentiles? Well, we understand the ultimate purpose of God was to include Gentiles even from the very beginning. I have no complaint about that. It's like that. Now we have the laws concerning the slaves in verses 2 to 11. Let's briefly go through these. Verse 2, you buy a Hebrew slave, he shall serve for 6 years, but on the seventh he shall go out as a free man without payment. If a person works as a slave for 6 years, then on the seventh year he is a free man. This applies only to a Hebrew slave. Leviticus chapter 25, verse 46 says, you may even bequeath them to your sons after you to receive as a possession. You can use them as a permanent slaves, but in respect to your countrymen, the sons of Israel, you shall not rule with severity over one another. A Gentile slave is for a lifetime, but not Jews. Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 12 and 14. If your kinsman, a Hebrew man or woman, is sold to you, then he shall serve you 6 years, but in the seventh year you shall set him free. When you set him free, you shall not send him away empty-handed. You shall furnish him liberally from your flock and from your threshing floor and from your wine vat. You shall give to him as the Lord your God has blessed you. See, the master gives generously when a slave goes free on seventh year. Then verse 15 says, you shall remember that you were, he's talking to the masters, that you shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you. Therefore I command you this today. See, all are the servants of God. Only God is the true master. So, you know, even at the time of Old Testament, these judicial laws are abrogated right now. But even at that time, the master should remember that only true master is God. God is the only one. Verse 3, go back to our passage. If he comes alone, he shall go out alone. If he is the husband of a wife, then his wife shall go out with him. And verse 4, if his master gives him a wife and she bears him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall belong to her master, and he shall go out alone. Again, sounds very harsh, but you will understand later as I conclude this. See, if his master gives him a wife after he becomes a slave, then and she bears children, then when he goes free on the seventh year, he has to go out alone. Verses 5 and 6, but if the slave plainly says, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out as a free man, then his master shall bring him to God. Then he shall bring him to the door or the doorpost, and his master shall pierce his ear with an awl, and he shall serve him permanently. When a slave loves his master and does not want to be free from his master, then his master shall bring him to the door, and his master shall pierce his ear. See, having an ear, earring, piercing an ear, biblically speaking, it just witnesses that you are a slave. But now, you know, they think it's some kind of beauty or whatever. It just means you are a slave. Anyway, verses 7 through 11, if a man sells his daughter as a female slave, she is not to go free as the male slaves do. If she is displeasing in the eyes of her master who designated her for himself, then he shall let her be redeemed. He does not have authority to sell her to a foreign people because of his unfairness to her. If he designates her for his son, he shall deal with her according to the custom of daughters. If he takes to himself another woman, he may not reduce her food, the clothing, her conjugal rights. If he will not do these three things for her, then she shall go out for nothing without payment of money. Again, to modern ears, this sounds very unfair. But at the time, actually, these verses are to protect the female slaves. Now, so we have in our passage, we see the laws of God that concerns the slaves. However, as we read the rest of the five books of Moses, we see that the institution of slavery is not ultimate purpose of God. Even in the Old Testament, God tells us, even though there is this institution of slavery, that is not God's ultimate purpose. Leviticus chapter 25, verse 39 through 43 says, "If a countryman of yours becomes so poor with regard to you that he sells himself to you, you shall not subject him to a slave service. He shall be with you as a hired man, as if he were a sojourner. He shall serve with you until the year of Jubilee. He shall then go out from you, he and his sons with him, and shall go back to his family, that he may return to the property of his forefathers. For they are my servants whom I brought out from the land of Egypt. They are not to be sold in a slave sale. You shall not rule over him with severity, but are to revere your God." So even within the Old Testament, there's a progression that the institution of slavery is going away. Now then, what do these verses have to do with us today? These judicial laws are abrogated, but they still teach us very important biblical concepts. After all the Bible is about our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, slavery. In the worldly perspective, it is an evil thing. But what is the biblical meaning of slavery? See, it has very important meaning for all of us. So even as we see these laws concerning slaves, we are learning something of who we are. Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 35 and 36, "But they, in their own kingdom, with your great goodness which you gave them, with the broad and rich land which you set before them, did not serve you or turn from their evil deeds. Behold, we are slaves today. And as to the land which you gave to our fathers to eat of its fruit and its bounty, behold, we are slaves in it." Here, being a slave is related to being a sinner. God's salvation is from sin. And the Bible expresses God's salvation as a salvation from the bondage of sin, from the slavery of sin. The book of Exodus clearly shows this. The Israelites were the slaves in the land of Egypt. This is to show that all men and women are the slaves to sin. Romans chapter 7, verse 14b, sold into bondage to sin. Sin is the master of the sinners. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 and 15 describes the salvation that Jesus Christ accomplishes like this: "Through death he might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is, the devil, and might free those who through fear of death were subject to slavery all their lives." John chapter 8, verse 34 through 36, Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, anyone who commits sin is the slave of sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son does remain forever. So if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed." You see, Jesus frees us from the bondage of sin, from the slavery of sin. And in order for him to accomplish this, he himself became a slave, a servant. He emptied himself, taking the form of bond servant, meaning slave, and being made in the likeness of men. Slaves or servants, they are the ones who serve the master or the owner, and they must obey their master. We are to do all things as the slaves to Christ. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 6, not by way of eye service as man pleasers, but as slaves or servants, slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. See, doing the will of God from the heart. We are all servants of Christ Jesus. We do the will of Christ Jesus from the heart. This is Paul's understanding of who he is. He is a servant of Jesus Christ. His life is all about doing the will of Jesus Christ from the heart. Thus, in the Bible, starting from Old Testament, we have many servants of God, many slaves of God. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, they are called the servants of God. God calls them my servants. Moses, the Old Testament mediator. King David, Joshua, all the prophets are called God's servants. God calls them my servants. The priests are called God's servants. The angels are called God's servants. But the servants of God of the Old Testament, they were never perfect servants. They were sinners. See, this is what you need to understand. We see so many servants in the Old Testament. Ultimate goal of God for all of us is that we will be servants of God. Slaves of God. See, in the worldly ear, it sounds like something bad. But biblically speaking, being slave to God is the purpose. It is not evil. It is not a bad thing, like the world thinks. But in the Old Testament, all these servants of God were never perfect. So there's a problem of God's people being the perfect servant of God. Because that is the purpose of God for His people. And we have all these people, they fail. I mean, they fail miserably being a good servant of God. So God actually promises His people that one day God will send the perfect servant. And that servant will fulfill all things and all of God's people will listen and obey Him. And that is Jesus Christ. So that in this perfect servant, you and I could also be the perfect servants of God. That is the will of God for us. Matthew chapter 12, verse 15 through 21, aware of this, Jesus withdrew from that place. Many followed Him, and He healed all their sick, warning them not to tell who He was. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. Here is my servant, whom I have chosen, the one I love, in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will proclaim justice to the nations. He will not crow or cry out. No one will hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out, till he leads justice to victory. In his name, the nations will put their hope. See here, Jesus reveals that he is that servant that was promised. Jesus came as the servant and shown us the reality of being a perfect servant. So this slave, being a slave, is something that we desire. It is our purpose. See how it is so different from what the world might teach you. Yes, in this sinful world, the institution of slavery is evil. And that's the point. But God's will for us is that we will be good servants of God. Philippians chapter 2, verse 6 through 8, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Sinners hate this. They don't want to be a slave, even if it is slave to God. Oh no. This whole world is all about having their rights. Oh, you hear that all the time. But we read here Jesus, even though he is God, he did not regard equality with God. He did not seek his rights. So many people think Christianity is all about seeking the rights. That's why they love America, because it's a Christian country and we are to seek our rights. When did ever Jesus, when did he ever seek his rights? No. He humbled himself and he was obedient even to the point of death. As a perfect servant, Jesus obeyed the Father, carried out the will of the Father perfectly. Luke chapter 22, verse 27, for who is greater, the one who reclines at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who reclines at the table? But I am, Jesus says, I am among you as the one who serves. And he showed us how to be true servants by washing his disciples' feet. Thus, the concept of the servanthood is not an evil concept according to the Bible. Oh yes, sinners will misuse it. Sinners will sin. But the concept of the servanthood is not a bad thing. Now in Jesus Christ, who is the true servant, you and I, we are all servants of God, slaves to God. And brothers and sisters, you must remember, even as you read about this slavery in the Bible, it's not for you to hate it. Of course you hate the injustice that went on, the sin that went on. But you must understand that you are slaves of God. This is who we are. If we are truly saved by our Lord Jesus Christ, then we are slaves to Him. Yes, we are much, much more than that. Bible will use all kinds of examples to tell us who we are. But we're focused on being a slave today. This is who we are. And by looking at the Old Testament slavery, you might say, wait a minute, look at that slave. You know, how come that master, slave has to obey this master, and he just has to, even with joy, obey the master? And you look at that and say, wait a minute, that's not fair. But understand the purpose of God. He wants you to learn what being a slave really means. You are to obey God because we are slaves to God. Understand the purpose of God in writing these things to you. He wants you to clearly know who you are and what you are and what your life is all about. And as a servant, we cannot serve two masters. We cannot serve two masters. And it's very interesting when Jesus said that. You cannot serve two masters. And what are the two masters that he gave as an example? He says, you cannot serve God and money. He didn't say you cannot serve God and Satan. He said God and wealth. That's very significant. Because the love of money is the root of every evil, God says. Actually, all are servants. Whether Christians or not, they're all slaves. And this is another thing you must understand. We are all slaves. Some are slaves to Satan, some are slaves to God. And this is the truth. See, according to the Bible, there are only two states for all of man and woman. Either you are a slave to sin and Satan, or you are a slave to God, a servant of God. The question is, as a servant, whom do you serve? It's not that, oh, I don't want to be servant. No, you are. Everybody is a servant. Either you're a servant of Satan or a servant of God. So whom do you serve as a servant? See, Romans chapter 6, verse 16 through 22. Do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as a slaves for obedience? See, you are a slave to that you obey. And whenever you sin, you obey Satan. You are acting like his slaves. Do you not know that when you present yourself to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin resulting in death or of obedience resulting in righteousness? But thanks to be God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed. And having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I am speaking in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you present your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, resulting in further lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, resulting in sanctification. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. Therefore, what benefit were you then deriving from the things which you are now ashamed? For the outcome of those things is death. But now having been free from sin, and enslaved to God, you derive your benefit resulting in sanctification and the outcome, eternal life. It's simple. If you are free from God, then you are slave to Satan. And if you are free from Satan, then you are slave to God. There is no middle ground. There is no third category. Either you are slave to God or you are slave to Satan. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 22, "For he who was called in the Lord while a slave is the Lord's freed man. Likewise, he who was called while free is Christ's slave." What is he saying? When you became Christian, you think that you were free in this world, free man. But when you became Christian, you have to understand that you have become a slave to Christ. All Christians are the servants of God. We must obey. And as such, we live to do the will of God. John chapter 12, verse 26, "If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there my servants will be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him." Now understand and believe that being the servants of God also means being the servants to one another. Now this is another concept you must understand. If we became a servants of God, that means we are servants to one another. We are slaves to one another. And we are to be like our Lord Jesus Christ who came to serve us. Just like Him, we are to serve one another. See, you are my slave and I am your slave. This is who we are. You know, just because you don't accept doesn't mean that's not who you are. This is what our God has accomplished for us. That's why we are to serve one another. And very first thing we must do is that we have to believe that we are servants to one another. John chapter 13, verse 15 and 16, "For I gave you an example, that you also should do as I did to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a slave is not greater than his master, nor is one who is sent greater than the one who sent him." Matthew chapter 20, verse 25 through 28, "But Jesus called them to himself and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lorded over them, and their great men exercised authority over them. It is not this way among you, but whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." Mark chapter 9, verse 35b says, "If anyone wants to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all." Jesus came as a servant of God and he came to serve us. So we are called to be the servants of God and we are called to serve one another. You got to have this understanding in your heart, in your head. Do you ever think yourself as a slave to your brother and sister? Do you ever live like that? If you don't, then you have to change. Because you are a slave to one another. This is what God has done for us. But we are not just the servants of God. That's one aspect of being a Christian. We've been learning that we are His eternal wife. We are His sons. We are His royal priesthood. And here in John 15, verse 15 says, no longer, Jesus says, do I call you slaves. For the slave does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all things I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Yes, we are slaves to him, but he treats us much more than slaves. He treats us as his friends. You are God's friend, yes. You are God's son. You are his eternal bride. You are his priest. You are his king. Obviously, one or two things cannot describe completely who we are in Jesus Christ. And one of so many things that we have, one of those many things that we have become in Jesus Christ is that we are his slaves. Because we are no longer slaves to sin and Satan. So why this whole system of master and slaves? In today's language, the boss and the employer and employee. Why? Because whether you are master or slave, you must realize that you are slave to the true master, God. And through that relationship between master and slaves, they are to witness what is true in the relationship between God and his people. That is the purpose. It's not about, you know, being fair or being not fair. It's about through that relationships you are to witness what is true of us in heaven. You are to witness the true relationship that we have with God. How else are you going to know that you are a slave when you don't see any slaves? And you see it everywhere now. You know, we just change name, slave, to employees. It's pretty much the same thing. I mean, I should not say same thing because, you know, some slaves long time ago lived much worse life than, you know, employees today. But the concept is there, and you are to learn from it. Not the sinfulness of it, but the proper understanding of that relationship between master and slave, so that we may know who we are and learn how we are to live. This is the gospel. Think about this, brothers and sisters. Do you think this is good news to non-Christians? If I take to them and say, we are all slaves to God? Even the word slave will be offending, you know, offensive for them. But see, you and I, we're different. We have received God's grace. So that we are the one that slave that we see in our passage who says, I love my master so much, I don't want to go away. See the different response? The world will hate this concept, being a slave. But for you and me, this is our delight. We want to stay as God's slave forever. We don't want to leave. We don't want to go away. So, spiritually speaking, we ask God to pierce our ears. And you don't have to witness that by physically piercing your ears. Don't do that. But spiritually, we ask God to pierce our ears.
because we want to stay as his slave forever. It is our delight, it is our honor to be slave of God. See, this piercing of the ear just means full consecration unto God. Brothers and sisters, how can you witness that your ears are pierced by God Himself? That you remain obedient to your God. To show that you remain as His slave. Throughout your whole life, that is your purpose, to show that you remain. Even though it's year of Jubilee, Jesus, we learn about that, right? Jesus came and we're all free. But this is the truth here. Even though we're free, we don't want to be free. Do you get it? Do you get what this passage is telling us? I don't want to be free because I love my master so much. And I love His sons and daughters so much. I want to remain as His slave, just like you. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, look at our eternal reality of heaven. We are the slaves of our Master, Jesus Christ, and we are the servants to one another, now and forever. And brothers and sisters, I pray that by God's grace, that all of us can witness this reality as we live as a one church. Let us really find out, first of all, what our Master wants. What pleases Him, so that as a servant we could please Him. But not only that, let us ask our brothers and sisters who are our masters and we are their slaves, what pleases them? What could I do to serve my brother and sister? Because we are servants of one another. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for what Your Son has done and accomplished for us. We thank You that even though we're slaves to sin and slaves to Satan, You have freed us and made us Your slave. And being Your slave, we voluntarily, with joy, we do serve You. And we love You so much that we don't want to be free from You. We don't want to leave You. But we'll always want to remain as Your slave, Your servant. Oh Father, let us study Your word more diligently to find out what pleases our Master. That we may serve Him, serve You, now and forever. Bless us and receive all the glory. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.